1440.
This month's transportation edition of Comment Please by Univest. If you'd like to join us today, our numbers are 215-855-8211 or 215-723-2116. Well, I always enjoy having returning guests on the show, as they always bring us kind of an update of what's happening, and they also get to share their stories with some listeners that may not have heard them the first time. So joining us today is Mike Mercadante, who is the owner of the Modern Driver Institute. And I want to welcome Mike back. And I noticed on his website that it said that the Modern Drivers Institute is not your typical driving school. Why is that?
Hi, Peggy.
Welcome back.
Thanks. Well, there's a few reasons for that. One is our target demographic. Most driving schools are set up to handle the neurotypical novice driver, so a regular old 16, 17-year-old high school student. And then there are specialty programs at certain organizations, hospitals and things like that, that are driving schools, but more in line with driver rehabilitation, physical rehabilitation, you know, things like that. So those are the two primary models. Modern Driver Institute is set up on a new model. It's customized for the non-typical novice driver. So this is anyone of any age, 16 to 70, who is getting a driver's license for the first time. Specifically individuals with learning differences, autism, anxiety disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder. I have students with manic depressive disorder, Down syndrome, anything like that. Anything that puts them outside of the nice little box that normally goes with one of the other two types of schools. So I really kind of customize the program to adapt to those students and what their specific needs are.
We've known Mike for a while because some of our travel training students have gone to him and have since gotten their licenses. And I think it's one of the happiest days, although we do like when they take public transportation as well. But the kids always kind of stop by. It's always great for us to get an update. But one of the other things we learned is Mike has a fascinating background. So maybe you can share that a little bit before we go on.
Oh, gosh. I am a driving instructor, and when I was 17, 18 years old, I went through the driving program at my high school, just the classroom program, and I admit, I think I slept through the whole thing, and what I wasn't sleeping through, I was doodling on my notebooks. I don't remember a thing of it, not a single thing, and I didn't take any behind-the-wheel training. And my parents couldn't handle it. They were too anxious and nervous. So I had a friend of mine who was a year older than me teach me how to drive poorly. And I got my license on the third try and then went on to have a series of crashes and tickets. And I was a terrible driver through most of my early 20s and my late teens. And I was an art school dropout working in retail and customer service, and I got an opportunity to work in a traffic safety lab, a research lab run by psychologists. And so I came aboard and I started working using my artistic skills and my marketing skills and things like that. And I would help develop all of the multimedia assets that would be necessary for a product to go in front of the public. And I had a blast. And at the same time, I started learning everything that I didn't know before, everything I should have been taught when I was 16 but never was exposed to. And I just committed to it, and I loved every element of it. And I also loved working with the public as far as, you know, integrating new driving skills and things like that. And I always liked education, so while I was doing that, I also went and I started teaching at a local college as an adjunct professor. I enjoyed that immensely. And then the two just sort of came together naturally to become a driving instructor teacher. Now, as part of Modern Driver Institute, I also still do research. I'm working on my doctorate in psychology, so I'm putting together my dissertation and things like that. And I always envisioned it a combination of research and education.
Now, when I pulled up today, I noticed that your car wasn't there, and unfortunately, Mike got delayed a little bit with a traffic accident, but he utilized...
Not that one that I was in.
Not one that he was in, and I also wanted to make a point, too, when he was talking about all those tickets. That was a while ago.
And that was 20 years
ago. Yeah, so we don't have to think, hey, I don't know if I want my child going to school, you know, learning from someone that had tickets. But you use Volvos as your training cars.
I do.
Why?
I have always had a good relationship with Volvos. Volvo is a company that's committed to safety, first and foremost. I don't know. I'll give you a little history here. 1959, Volvo created the first three-point harness, the typical seatbelt that we're all accustomed to. And they had a choice at that point. They could patent it and keep it for themselves. They didn't. Instead, they offered it free to every manufacturer on the planet. So every car that you've driven in the last 50 years, whether it be a Chevy or an Audi or a Bentley, has a Volvo seatbelt in it, a Volvo-designed seatbelt. So they created that technology in the hopes that that would help save lives, and they distributed it for free to every other manufacturer in the hopes that it would save even more lives. I love that philosophy. It's a very safe car. Volvos are also very known for being rugged and reliable, which, given that I put 50,000, 60,000 miles a year on it, and it's driven by people who don't know how to drive, it takes quite a beating, and I need a car that can keep up with that. And so far, so good.
Now, there may be several reasons someone might be reluctant to drive or may not be able to drive. And some of them could include, as you mentioned before, autism, mm-hmm. Social communication disorder, a mental disorder. How do you work with these individuals to prepare them and get them to drive?
And that's a hard question to sum up in a few simple sentences. Every person is a unique snowflake. We all learn a little bit differently. So... do you remember Felix the Cat?
I do.
Felix the Cat had a little black bag full of magic tricks, and he would open his bag and just pull out whatever trick he needed for that moment. My goal as an educator is to collect as many tricks as possible, as many different methods to teach what I need to teach as possible, and put them in my magic bag and carry it with me at all times, and then assess the student. And on a unique individual level, not just what does the DSM-5 tell me, but what does this individual demonstrate to me? And then I reach in my bag and pull out the appropriate magic trick, and we try it, and we see if it works. If it does, great. We've got someone who's learned a new skill. If not, I reassess and look for another magic trick.
Yeah, and similar, you know, My church has a stitchers group where we are teaching people how to knit. Mm-hmm. And I have a variety of different ways to do that. Just as for us, when we're teaching pedestrian safety or when we're teaching our students travel training, we always like to have that one class where we kind of sit down and just get to know the students to see what they like, who may talk a little bit more, who likes things visually, who wants to be rewarded a little bit more through attention or a trinket. But it's really that learning process to getting to know that person.
Absolutely.
First before you really kind of move forward with how this person is going to learn, because we do all learn differently. Everybody has their own challenges when they're learning, and even I also believe that we learn all throughout our lives. Mm-hmm. So we don't stop learning at any point, and unfortunately I think when you stop learning, that's when your life kind of deteriorates. So we have to really consider that. So it's nice to think that it's not, if you're teaching someone how to drive, we're not just looking at, well, this is the way we do it, and that's that.
Right.
So, can anyone drive a car?
I am continually amazed by how the combination of technology and training can yield wonderful results. Now, I mostly work from a cognitive and behavioral perspective. So, I train the mind and train behaviors. There are wonderful people out there doing wonderful things with physical components of driving as well. And just this morning I was visiting with some colleagues down at Moss Rehab. And Moss has a fantastic program for this. And they were showing me some vehicles that can be driven by people who don't have any arms and any legs. And I thought at least one set was a requirement for driving. So I'm continually amazed at how far the technology can take us. And when you partner technology with education, you can create wonderful results. There are certain limitations still. Obviously, a blind person cannot drive. Sight is critical. But sight limitations, you know, short of blindness, there are therapies that we can work with, and there are special technologies that can assist. Physical limitations, not my area of expertise. So, you know, there are probably some limits. A complete paralysis or something like that might be impossible. But from what I've seen, maybe not too many limitations after all.
Now, do you get worried with the reliance on technology? So, for example, one of the things that we often tell our students is when we were just doing a pedestrian safety unit, that you always need to worry about walking behind cars that may be backing up, whether you're in a parking lot, whether you're, you know, walking through something, that even though cars are equipped with technology that may alert someone to the bumper, we still can't rely on that. So how does that work for your position? I mean, how much do you teach them to rely on technology?
I don't. There are backup cameras, there are sensors, all of that stuff is getting pretty normal. And I will, to some level, teach how to utilize those skills and how to utilize that technology as an assistant. But it is still the student's responsibility to clear the environment themselves, to look, to be aware of their surroundings. So we really spend a lot of time focusing on that, that generating a 360-degree perception of what's around the car and not being reliant on the technology. The backup cameras are federally mandated now. As of the 2016 models, every brand-new car made in a, you know, and offered for sale in the country has to have a backup camera. The backup cameras are typically only a 3 or 4 inch screen that are showing you a limited view of what's directly behind the car. They can't show you everything, so you need to look even if you're trusting the camera. Nothing replaces that.
Okay. Now, you also do driver skill assessment. What does that mean?
So an assessment, this would be for someone who has a driver's license but has concerns. Say, in a position like myself 20 years ago, they've racked up a few tickets, a few crashes. If that's my case, I must be doing something wrong. What am I doing wrong? Well, come visit me. We'll hang out for an hour or two. We'll go driving. And I'll see if I can give you some recommendations on things that you can change. Habits are usually number one. A lot of us over the 20 or 30 years that we've had since we've become licensed drivers have either lost the knowledge that we had, or we've developed bad habits. So a lot of that is just kind of an outside expert taking a look at it and saying, well, you know, if you change this habit and this habit, you'd be much safer. And that's a lot of what I do.
Now, do you find that there are, obviously there may be more distractions, there's more distractions in the vehicles, there's more distractions on the roadways, that that's impacting our drivers as a whole?
Oh, it certainly is. The level of distraction in a modern car is substantially different from a car from the 1960s or 70s. Remember, at that point, everything was largely manual. You had a manual transmission. You were constantly shifting. You were engaged with the vehicle. And you, at best, had an AM radio or maybe an AM/FM radio if you were really lucky. Today, we have cars that park themselves. Cruise control has now gone from the standard speed setting to adaptive speed cruise control, which just simply sets a distance from the object in front of you and slows and accelerates, you know, to keep that relationship. And at the same time, our smartphones have become much more integrated into our lives and much more feature-filled. A lot of 2017 and 2018 models are coming with Wi-Fi hubs as standard equipment, which means that you can plug in and play all of your electronics and catch up on Facebook and whatever your social media thrills are while you're driving. And the car companies actively encourage this with the use of Wi-Fi and integrating all of this stuff into the computer. One of the other things I've noticed is a lot of the modern cars have gone to touch screens for the center access to things like climate control, stereo, all of this kind of stuff, navigation. a touchscreen, there's no physical feedback for your fingertips. So you have to look at the screen to see where your fingers are to push the buttons. Whereas, you know, an old-fashioned radio with knobs, you could just reach down and feel for the knob and keep your eyes on the the road. And so the technology, as it gets built into the cars, is becoming more and more increasingly distractive to the driver.
Well, we're going to take a short break now. If you'd like to join us, our numbers are 215-855-8211 or 215-723-2116. When we come back, we're going to ask Mike to give us maybe some advice for the parent of the soon-to-be driving child.
Home a new look. Landis Block and Concrete of Souderton will help improve your outdoor living spaces with Cambridge Paving Stones. They have the best ideas in outdoor living. See the diversity of products throughout their modern showroom. Glengarry Clay Brick, Concrete Paving Stones, Flagstone, Cultured and Veneer Wallstone, Waterproofing and Sealers, Quickcrete Products, and more. Along with Nice Creative Lansdale, Landis Block and Concrete offers a full range of concrete services, from ready-mix concrete to concrete pump services. Landis Block and Concrete, County Line Road at Chestnut Street in Souderton, your one-stop supplier for all your outdoor needs. A cornerstone for over 70 years.
The 25th Annual International Spring Festival is Saturday, April 16th at North Penn High School from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Come celebrate your cultural heritage. Learn about your neighbors. Bring your friends and family to enjoy this free event. It's the largest diversity event in the state. It's the International Spring Festival, April 16th at North Penn High School. For more information, visit internationalspringfestival.com and we'll see you at the free 25th Annual International Spring Festival, April 16th at North Penn High School.
Hello, I'm Mike Kime, president of Univest Bank, with a message for businesses worried about the way local banks are being taken over by the big financial institutions. At Univest, we understand how important it is to work with people you know, who can make decisions locally and offer the comprehensive solutions you desire. We do business the way you do business. Bank local with Univest.
Visit univest.net. Univest Bank and Trustco is member FDIC.
WNPV AM 1440.
Welcome back to this month's transportation edition of Comment Please by Univest. Talking with me now is Mike Mercadante from the Modern Driver Institute, and I asked him to maybe give the parents out there, it's getting to be driving weather, and they may have a child that is going to soon be learning to drive. Any advice?
Sure. Couple things to remember. First of all, it has been, for the average parent, maybe 20 to 30 years since you've taken the learner's permit test or the license test. It has changed a lot. So take the time to refresh yourself on what the new procedures are. Don't teach what you did. Teach what is going on now. Your student is picking up the driver's manual. Pick it up as well. Read through it and know what they need to know, not know what you remember from your test. So that's the biggest thing, is just refresh yourself to where they need to be, not to where you are or where you were 20 years ago. Secondly, choose the right vehicle. Now, some households are limited, but if you have a minivan and a huge SUV and a small sedan in the driveway, the student should be learning on the small sedan. That's always the best choice. Sedans offer more visibility for the new driver so they can see better, and more stability. Lower center of gravity keeps the car better attached to the road than an SUV or something like that. And that, just making those little adaptive changes and picking the right car and keeping your skills fresh will help you ease into this a lot more, with a lot less difficulty.
One of the things that I noticed new on Mike's site is he has a lot of great posts there. And one of the recent one was called Dodging Debris. So can you tell us a little bit about that post and maybe some of the other topics you cover?
Sure. So the training car that I use has a dash cam built into it, or I've added it on. And it catches high-definition video of what goes on through the windshield, so whatever's in front of the car. So one night I was driving home on 309 northbound on the highway between Souderton and Quakertown, and I was in the left lane passing a small car. There was a pickup truck ahead of me about 50 feet on the right, in the right lane, and it had a full-size living room recliner in the back of the pickup bed. He must have hit a bump or a wind caught it or something, but the recliner blew out of the back of the truck and bounced toward my hood. And at 50, 60 miles an hour on the highway, that's immediately a terrifying thought. One of the things that I teach my students is at all times, keep yourself an escape route. And on the highway, the easiest way to do that is keep the zone in the next lane completely empty so that if you need to dodge rapidly, you can. And I think that's a great idea, so I do try to practice what I preach. And in this case, I did have a zone open next to me. So I immediately shifted lanes to the right and let the recliner bounce past me instead of into me. I could only have moved in that fraction of a second if I had already known it was clear. There was no time to look and see if it's clear before I moved, because if I did that, it would have hit me. So keeping that space open at all times is critical, and that was the point of this post. So I posted the video clip from the windshield, and I said, you know, here's why what I teach you is so important.
Excellent. Now, if people want to know more or to kind of just go through your website and see what it is, how would they be able to contact you?
Well, the website is moderndriver.org, O-R-G. I try to put a ton of information. I love to write and I love to talk with people, so I will flood that with as much information as I can. And if I get a lot of questions, I may write columns or pieces about those questions so that the answers are there for everybody. So there's a ton of information on there. There's also a way to sign up as a new student, and there's contact information with phone number and email and stuff like that. You can also reach us through Facebook at Mike the Driving Guy. That's me. And through Twitter and email and all that kind of stuff. All the links to that are on the website.
Now, just real quickly before we go off, you do both classroom instruction, and do you still do online instruction as well?
So the online programs that are out there there haven't been any definitive studies recently, but all of the feedback that I get, that largely they're kind of not really hitting the mark. The students punch through the course as fast as they can and then get the certificate and then move on and forget everything they've been exposed to. So I am actually trying to build from scratch a new online program that involves much more interactivity, games and levels and things like that, challenges that they have to complete to move on to and unlock material. So it plays more like a video game. And I think that'll be much more engaging to the average student, especially the students in my audience. And I think it'll work better to relate that material, I'm hoping. So I'm looking at some of the latest theories on learning, and I'm trying to apply those. But I'm doing it all by myself, and it's taking quite a long time. It's not going to be ready for about another year.
Okay, and that's at moderndriverinstitute.org.
O-R-G.
Okay. And you also can give us a call. We can hook you up with Mike, or you can just call us about pedaling on the parkway at 215-997-9100. And we're partnership tma-mc.org. And we'll see you next month.